Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
All right, good morning to you. Good to see you. We're glad that you are here today. We've been talking for the last few weeks about moving beyond your past, okay? You know, some of us, we're trying to uphold our past. Did anybody in your family ever tell you that? You need to understand what your last name is, right? Wear that proudly. I mean, to be an example for where you come from. Some of us have been trying to live down our past, right? Did you ever hear about the guy that paid $500 to research his family tree, and then he paid $1,000 to cover it up? Right? There's some things about our past that we're trying to keep hidden. But we've been talking about moving beyond your past. And it's so important. We started a few weeks ago, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Isn't that an awesome verse? I mean, that's a verse that every Christian should really commit to memory. Because if you're in Christ, if we are a believer, if we're a Christian, we have this wonderful promise from God that our old life doesn't matter anymore in the sense of where we are, our standing in life. We are a new person if we are in Christ. A couple weeks ago, we went to Mark chapter 11, verse 25. We were talking about the need for forgiveness. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. I talked to you about unforgiveness and how so many times that because we're unwilling to forgive, that it just puts us in a prison that we build ourselves and we can't get out of that unless we offer forgiveness. Now, what I want to do today is take that one step forward and not talk about forgiveness in the sense of a theoretical kind of mentality, but I want to talk to you about asking for forgiveness. Okay, I mean, we all understand how important forgiveness is and how important it is that we offer forgiveness. And the passage that I read to you there just a moment ago, that if we hold anything against anyone, that we need to forgive so that our Father in heaven will forgive your sins. Today I want to teach you how to ask for forgiveness. Now, I don't know about you, but almost everybody has a grandparent, a grandfather or a grandmother that's just awesome in this. And, you know, I heard when I was just a youngster that if you have a grandparent that's a believer and they're praying for you, you might as well just go ahead and give your heart to Jesus because it's going to happen sometime anyway. Right? Because you got this grandparent. I want to teach you from a very famous grandparent. I want to use an example from a very famous grandparent. I might have to explain to some of you younger people who this is, but I think most of you that are my age, older, maybe a little younger, will understand who this is. Let's learn how to ask for forgiveness, or maybe how not to ask for forgiveness from a very famous grandparent. Okay, watch this.
I sure wish I could invite you into the kitchen for some coffee and victuals, but Granny's so mean and cantankerous when it comes to...
Pearl, forgive me. I'm the one that set the law on you. Please forgive me, Pearl. I'm so ashamed. Forgive me, Pearl. Don't let Jim throw me out of the class.
You set the law on me?
Oh, I'm low, Pearl. Awful low and mean. Step on me, Pearl. Step on me like you would a worm. Tromp on me. Grind your feet on me. Wait. Oh, Pearl. Mr. Policeman, run over me. I don't deserve to live. Run over me and throw my poor old mean body to the buzzard.
All right, Granny, now that's enough.
But Pearl hasn't forgiven me yet. Mr. Policeman, give your gun to Pearl and let her shoot me. Don't worry, stop that. Put a curse on me, Pearl.
I forgive you. I forgive you.
But I deserve to be punished, and punished bad. Sing to me, Pearl.
Granny Pearl done said she forgives you.
Am I taken back to the clan? Am I welcome to the bosom of my family?
I reckon.
Pearl, you are an angel. You can have any part of my kitchen. Throw me out of it. Set the dogs on me.
Take your granny into the house, please.
Sure, Ma. Did you whomp her?
No, I didn't whomp her.
Whomp me, Pearl. Oh, Jesus. Okay, come in the house. Come on in the house and whomp me, Pearl.
Come on in the house and whomp me, Pearl. This has nothing to do with the sermon, but I have to say this. I haven't been able to move that good in the last 10 years. Isn't she amazing? I've always been amazing how she just flows herself on the ground and jumps back up. And did everybody know who that was? Some of the youngsters probably didn't. That was Granny from the Beverly Hillbillies teaching us how to ask for forgiveness, or maybe how not to ask for forgiveness. It's really an important issue in life because to some extent we don't do this very well. Matter of fact, we probably do just the opposite. When we hurt someone or when someone hurts us, we basically say because of not being attentive to it, is we just say, let's do it again. You know, we don't try to move beyond. We don't try to fix things. We don't try to overcome things. We just simply say, you know what? I let you down today. I'll let you down again tomorrow. We really don't seek forgiveness the way that we should. Somebody lets us down. Somebody hurts our feelings. Somebody's inconsiderate. Or we let somebody down. Or we hurt somebody's feelings. Or we're inconsiderate. Or we betray someone. And what happens is that we just allow things to continue and to go. It's easier sometimes to be a victim. It's easier to think that it's somebody else's fault. But you know what? A lot of times, it's our fault. Or at least often, it's our fault. Or for sure, a portion of the situation is our fault. We've brought something to the situation that makes it bad or makes it worse. But what do you do when you've hurt somebody? What do you do when you've said it? You know, Jesus said, you've heard that it said, do not murder. And then he says, but I say unto you that if you have hatred in your heart toward a brother or sister, then you've committed that awful and egregious sin. Now let me share with you a passage of scripture that's really akin to the one that we looked at last week. This one comes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. And Jesus says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Now let me highlight some of the thoughts from this passage and help you understand exactly what Jesus is trying to say here. He says that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar and first go. Think about that. That word go, it's a verb in the original language, and it denotes a very active kind of activity. It's a very intense kind of effort. In other words, it takes something to realize a situation has happened and you need to do something about it, and you actually get up and you go to do that thing. Notice he says here that if you're there at the altar and you remember this, then go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. You know what that's talking about? Yeah, what he means there is that this kind of active forgiveness is a priority over worship. You know, there's some of us here this morning that we have a broken relationship that needs restoration. And before we worship, we should have the desire to take care of that. Now think about this, because sometimes I don't think these kinds of important situations in life become real, that we really don't understand them until we get to a certain point in life. You know, we don't understand what the tremendous responsibility it is about children until we have a child and we look at this kid in our arms and we're like, wow, this is my responsibility. And sometimes I think that we come to days like this and we read a passage like this and it says to go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and worship your God. And we just need to realize how important of a moment that this really is. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. You know what I notice about that passage? It says peacemakers, not peacekeepers. Think about that. What's the difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper? Well, I think peacekeepers often avoid confrontation to keep the peace. You know, some of us, maybe even a lot of us, or all of us, we're like this. We're peacekeepers. Therefore, we stay quiet. You know, we don't want to bring it up. We don't want to bring it to the forefront. We don't want to stir the pot. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to bring this out to cause ourselves any kind of discomfort. Peacekeepers a lot of times avoid confrontation in order to keep the peace. But he says peacemakers here. Peacemakers will be called the sons of God. And I think peacemakers embrace confrontation to make peace. Peacemakers are willing to do what is somewhat sometimes uncomfortable in order to bring about real peace in a situation. And folks, you and I need to be peacemakers, not just peacekeepers. Matter of fact, think about it this way. I want you to think about pride and humility. Because pride and humility are two very important topics. Pride is the greatest enemy to peacemaking. Humility is the greatest friend to peacemaking. I mean, if you want to know what a lot of times stops you from being a peacemaker, it's your pride. It's your pride. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2 says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." You see, pride, I'm not going to, you ever said this? I'm not going to apologize. I don't have anything to apologize for. I mean, has anybody here ever said that? I'll raise my hand. I'm not going to apologize. I don't have anything to apologize for. If anybody needs to apologize, he or she needs to apologize. Why should I apologize? I didn't do anything. I was just telling the truth. Did you know a lot of times we can tell the truth, but the truth can really hurt someone? You know, we say, "I'm not going to apologize. It's not my fault." Most ongoing relationships have these kinds of struggle. And here's the point, folks. All of us need to realize that even if we're not totally at fault, we are partially at fault. We all bring something to the table. And the greatest enemy in being that kind of peacemaker is pride. And the greatest friend of being that kind of person is humility. So we need to ask God. We need to pray to God. We need to implore Him to take away our pride and to give us that kind of humility. That kind of humility that allows us and causes us to love a person more than we love being right. That causes us to have an affection for people more than we have an affection for things. That we have a desire to care about people more than our position in life. And a lot of times, the greatest things that's going to lead us down the right road is just this idea of understanding that pride is the greatest enemy and that humility is the greatest friend. So let me switch gears here and talk to you about how to apologize. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about apologizing. There's a right way and there's a wrong way to do that. There's a right way and there's a wrong way to apologize. So how do we apologize with integrity? How do we apologize with the heart of God? You know, a right way and a wrong way. In other words, it's a wrong way for it to go up and say, "You know what, I'm really sorry that you got your feelings hurt." Wrong. Okay. That's not the right way to do it. You know, it's wrong to walk up to somebody and say, "You know what, if I did anything to hurt you, I really am sorry." Wrong. You see, what that does is it still puts it back on that person. You know, I'm really sorry that you feel this way. You know, we might as well say, you know what? This way you're feeling is totally wrong. And if you'll let me beat around the bush here, I'll tell you the right way to feel. No. That's not the way you apologize. Let me give you five things that will help you to apologize the right way with integrity to people that you have wronged. Number one, admit to specific actions and attitudes. Admit to your actions and attitudes. You know, saying things like, you know what, I'm sorry. I should not have raised my voice. You know, I really apologize. I should not have assumed that you thought this way. You know what? I'm really sorry I didn't call. You know, I should have called. And I'm sorry that I did. I'm sorry that I ignored your feelings. What did you do? You see, a lot of times when we're talking about forgiveness and offering forgiveness or even asking for forgiveness, everything that we think about, everything that we talk about is the actions and the words and the motivations of other people. What about you? What did you do? You know, I have a great friend that's a wonderful counselor. His initials, I don't want to inflate his ego, so I won't tell you his name, but his initials are Don McClune. You know, Don told me one time, he said, you know what, when a couple comes in the office, if you could just get a couple to embrace what they have done wrong, you can help them. But if a couple is there and they're both just pointing the fingers at what the other person has done, is doing, and will do wrong, it's hard to help those people. And you know what, folks, it's absolutely true. So if we need to apologize, if we want to apologize, let's begin by admitting to specific actions or attitudes that we have had. You know what? I know that I wasn't there for you. I know I should have protected you. I know that I didn't engage appropriately, you know, your situation in life. Here's the second thing. Don't make excuses. Don't make excuses. I mean, if you did something, if you wronged someone, I think Jesus would call us to ask for and to seek forgiveness. But what happens a lot of times is we just fall into this place in life where we just make excuses for that. You know, like the father who the little boy comes to his dad and says, Dad, I don't see you near enough anymore. All you do is work. And the dad says, sweetheart, I'm sorry I'm not home as much as I need to be, but do you know how much this house cost? You know? Do you know how much it cost for me to take you and your mom and your little sister to the beach last year? You know, I don't want to work this much, but, and then the excuse. I got to work this amount to be able to live the way, you know. You know how much Xbox cost? You know? And what we do is we try to transfer the blame of a situation for maybe poor choices that we've made ourselves and to place it on situations that are outside our control. You know? Or like you know, the wife says to the husband, you never buy me anything anymore. And then he makes excuses about the kids or about the in-laws or about whatever. Don't make excuses. Just simply own up, admit to your actions and your attitudes, and own up to the mistakes that you have made. Here's number three. How to apologize? Accept the consequences. In other words, if you have harmed someone by gossiping about them, and then you ask and you seek their forgiveness, and they even offer the acceptance of that, and they say that you are forgiven, understand that there are consequences to your actions. A slow trust will have to be rebuilt over time. You know, the husband who has wronged his wife by going outside of their marriage, And he pours his heart out. He asks for forgiveness, and she offers that. And she says, okay, I forgive you. We will continue with our home, and we will get beyond this. And all of a sudden, the husband's like, she doesn't trust me anymore. Well, understand that there are consequences to your actions. You know, I went and visited my daughter the other day, and she married this Florida, University of Florida fan, and I never was for that. And he's got a little thermometer in his swimming pool that has a Florida Gator on top of it. Now, I might have just accidentally left it out so the dog could chew it up. Right? Isn't that the way we are? I mean, we just need to accept that when we do something wrong, that there are going to be consequences for that. Now, I didn't do that. I thought about it. Here's number four, change your behavior. You see, even if we admit our actions and attitudes, even if we don't make excuses, if we accept the consequences of what we've done or said or not done or not said, we need to realize that really nothing can change unless we change our behavior. You know, in other words, don't yell at someone that you love, apologize for it, and then yell again. You know, don't use God's name in vain and say, you know what, I shouldn't do that, and then do it again. You know, don't say, I'm sorry, I haven't been home much lately, and then increase your travel. Don't apologize and then not change anything. You see, that's the neat thing about God. God has always given us another chance. God has given us a second chance and a third chance. The whole idea about repentance is that we can change our actions in the future and affect us in a very positive way. But when we apologize, don't walk away and just do it again without any thought. Okay, and then the last thing is, then ask for forgiveness. See, because all of these four things are imperative that we bring to the situation before we even open our mouth to ask for forgiveness. That we understand our actions and attitudes, that we don't make excuses, that we understand their consequences and accept those consequences, that we're willing and able to change our behavior, and then we ask for forgiveness. You know, a father, the child relationship can be so strong if these five things are followed. A husband and wife can be so strong if these things permeate their life together. The office can be so welcoming, so inviting, so peaceful if these five steps are followed. But if we don't, then real healing can't come. You know, I was watching a sports thing one day, and somebody was talking about a fellow that had broken his leg, and he had his leg set, he'd had his leg repaired, and they made the comment that the healed broken bone is stronger than the original, than before the break. You know, even when we built this building, actually right above this wall right here, right back there, where these big beams are tied into the support structure of this building, that beam was placed in there so that we'd be able to take out these beams that would have been right here. And when they brought those beams in, it was really interesting, and I was over here and I was taking pictures, and they put the beam on the crane, and they set it up on there, and they set it up on this end, and then they put it over on that end, and as it went down, it was too short. It wasn't long enough. It's like, okay, I didn't measure it. You know, that's what I wanted to say. But it was just, you know, just a mistake that was made from in the manufacturing of the beams. And it just wasn't long enough. And they took it back off and they took it over and they set it in the parking lot. And they said, well, we're going to have to send them back. It's going to take, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, a month, month and a half before they get repaired and all this kind of thing. And then, you know, the really, really smart people that we had working on our building, you know, they got together and they said, you know what, we can fix that. We can repair that. And they actually brought a piece in. It was like 8 or 10 inches too short. And they brought a piece in and they actually just welded that piece onto the end of that beam. And I'm like, I don't know. Does that seem, you know, Sam, I wouldn't even sit there if I was you. It's right over your head. But you know what they said to me? They said that weld is stronger than the original metal. When you weld that piece on there, when you put that piece of metal on top of it and weld it, that repair is stronger than the original beam. And you know what, folks? I think forgiveness desired, forgiveness achieved, when forgiveness is asked for and granted, and when you go through these steps and you truly are forgiven, you truly ask for forgiveness with integrity, you understand your position in life, what can come after that can be even stronger than what you had before. You see, that's why he says, first go, be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. What he's saying is that what can take place after real forgiveness is better than what was going to take place. He said, if you're here at the altar, you're ready to give your gift, and then you realize that you have this issue of unforgiveness in your heart, and when you go and you seek that forgiveness and that forgiveness is granted, when you come back, what you do is better than what you were going to do. So what you and I need to understand is that our home, our family, our work, our friends, what we have with each other can be so much better than what we have right now if true forgiveness is achieved. You know, I wonder if James, when he talks about the sin of omission, it's actually in James chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. You and I know it as the sin of omission. If you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, for you it's sin, right? The sin of omission. Not just things that we do that we consciously recognize are things that we do wrong, but things that we do not do that we know we should do, that if we do not do those right things that we know we should do, that is a sin. That is the sin of omission. I wonder if this is one of the situations that he had in mind with that. I love the way the message says this. As it is, you're full of your grandiose selves. All such vaunting self-importance is evil. In fact, if you know the right thing to do and don't do it, that for you is evil. I mean, is it too far of a stretch to say that all of us, When we sit in places like this with unforgiveness on our heart, knowing that there's people that we have wronged that we need to reach out to, is that part of the evil that he's talking about? You know, folks, even if you do what is right, you may hurt someone. It's not okay to call and say, you know what, I'm sorry that I hurt you. Not that I'm sorry that you thought I hurt you. No, I'm sorry that I hurt you. Every time I can think of that, I understand that I'm sure you have too, I've hurt someone. I've done that many, many times. I hope and pray that they've forgiven me, but I also hope and pray that I understand that I have the need to be forgiven. The sins of omission. Pride only breeds quarrels, Proverbs 13:10 says. And then I love this. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 18. It says, if at all possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You see, folks, here's the point. I'm going to leave you with this. It's on us. When this issue of forgiveness, we're always thinking of it from the wrong perspective. We always think of it of, you know what, if they would ask me forgiveness, or if they would admit what they did. Oh, no, he says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So it's my prayer, it's our prayer here today, that we can come to God and we can say, you know what, I understand this. I understand that the priority that's over our worship is that I have a pure heart and a clean conscience about such matters. God, help me overcome the pride. Help me to embrace the humility. Help me to realize the right way to apologize. And then, God, give me the strength to do it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray this morning that you would help us, Lord, to reach out, Father, with a spirit of humility, understanding that to some degree, maybe to a large degree, our pride is what's in the way of us seeking the forgiveness that we need. So, Lord, may we embrace that humility. May we banish that pride. And Lord, may we reach out to, Lord, those that we have hurt, those that we have wronged. And God, may we make it right. Lord, may we make it about our actions and our attitudes and nothing else. And God, help us to correct ourselves through this act of forgiveness in such a way, Lord, that it would heal our relationships with each other and, Lord, even with you. And Father, we pray right now as we seek to bless you by singing this wonderful song. God, may your spirit invade our heart and cause us, Lord, to feel things, to embrace things that would change us from the inside out. May it be so, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number 4, christ.com.